to order. I'm sorry I'm late. One item on our agenda this morning, and that's Senate Bill 112. In the discussion yesterday, I had a motion on the table. We inadvertently did not, or objection to the acceptance for explanation did not get through accepting the CS properly. And I want to get on the record that we do have the CS before us. Is there objection? CS is before us, and we have, so that is a working document.
Just for clarification, we did, Madam Chair, if I'm right, we did adopt a conceptual amendment. It is in the member's packet, as it should have been written.
How did we adopt the amendment?
Well, I think we adopted that conceptual.
We adopted the CS.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
We adopted the CS, so if you'll move the amendment.
Madam Chairman, I move amendment number one.
Okay. Is there, would you like to, I'll object for explanation, Senator.
It simply places in the definitions section a definition of employed, which means 10 consecutive working days, one normal pay period, whichever is less, or 20 cumulative working days.
Is there any questions about the definition? Senator Hoffman.
And then under this definition, the individual would be responsible for paying, if that was his only job, he worked 10 days, he would be responsible for paying how much funds?
The payment schedule is half the tax or 10%, whichever is less.
Whichever is less. Okay.
And we do have Chuck Hermert here from Department of Revenue who help us with details if we need it.
Anyone require further explanation? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. One of the questions that I do have and one of the concerns I have about the bill is the issue of residents versus non-residents. And I realize the tax year here is being discussed. Is there any way to go ahead and does this in any way catch the non-resident workers that are during this tax year amendment or even in the bill itself?
Senator, I do want to acknowledge who all is at the committee today. Senator Bundy, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Dyson, Stedman, Co-Chair Wilkin, and myself, Green. Thank you with your explanations, Senator Bundy.
Yes, Madam Chair. Anyone who works in an REAA and has not paid a tax to support their schools in another district in Alaska would be subject to the tax. So non-resident workers would definitely be subject to the tax.
When I read the bill, I guess I don't read it quite there. It says residents are subject to the tax, but if that's the intent, immediate intent, that was my question.
I think the distinction is if you are a resident, but you are paying tax in another area of the state, then you're not subject to taxation without representation. Don't put that in, please. Are there any other questions? Is there anyone who wishes to testify on Senate Bill 112?
Removing your objection to the amendment.
I will, thank you. I will remove my objection to the amendment. And if there's no further objection, amendment number one is adopted. Thank you. I'm going to quit objecting. Otherwise, I. Okay, and there is a second amendment before us. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move amendment number two.
Object.
Okay, would you like to speak to your amendment?
I'd be glad to, Madam Chairman. Amendment number two essentially goes ahead and looks at the bill, and what it does is it imposes a tax of $100 a year for all individuals that are 19 years or older who do not own real property in the state or are subject to taxes from any municipalities during the year. And this is assumed that they have an income that's wages earned that's greater than $5,000. And the main reason for that is to go ahead and try and give the college students and those younger people that are out there just trying to get started on their economic feet a chance to go ahead and get ahead. Essentially on page two of the of the amendment, we've got the exemptions to the tax that's there, and what we are looking for is that this is an education tax as opposed to an employment tax, and so we're directing, and we're fully aware that we cannot go ahead and designate funds for specific categories of funding. And one of the things that I have pointed out is that we've got a publication put up by the Department of Labor, which addresses one of the issues that was really concerning to me about the non-residents, and we're showing that there are over 68,000 non-resident workers that come into the state every year, and their total earnings is in excess of $1.1 billion. $1.1 billion, B with a billion. And so with that, I just want to make sure that we've got those workers included in this tax, which I think is going to be more fair. It's going to exempt everybody that does pay property tax, because property tax is obviously going to be going to education. Those people are exempted. So I think you get the spirit of what the sponsor, the bill has, as well as some of the people that may have been excluded. With that, I urge your support.
Senator Bundy.
I would speak in opposition to the amendment. As I pointed out earlier, the bill as written would require non-residents to pay the education tax, as well as other people living in REAAs. And the amount we can, I guess, debate perhaps endlessly. The amount that is suggested by the Department of Revenue in the original bill would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $400, perhaps between $400 and $500. And one of the objectives of this bill is to provide some balance or fairness. And while I don't know the details of your personal life, I would suspect that you pay probably two or three or four times that amount to support, among other things, your schools. So the $400 does not seem to me onerous, knowing that there was over $500 million of earned income in REAAs in fiscal 04. And, of course, I have to point out, a family of four receives $4,000 from the state. A tenth of that to go to support schools does not seem onerous. So I would encourage us to maintain the original bill at the level that will be calculated by Department of Revenue as the average of what people in organized areas pay.
Any other comment? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Certainly the sponsor has got some good points there, and I agree with him for the most part of what he's trying to do. I also want to point out to the members of the committee that if you look at the wages and average employment of people that are within these REA districts on this particular sheet here, you see that if, for example, Bering Straits, the place that I'm from and most familiar with, you have a total of $31 million that went into that district. And if you look at the average monthly employment, the total people that earned that $31 million is 1,686. If you divide that number by the amount, the average of people or average of the family under five is going to be making $18,566.56, which under the federal guidelines that are outlined in the bill, you put half the people that are below the federal poverty line, so you're not going to be collecting from those people. And so I think that there is a little bit of a maybe an oversight that not taking into consideration who you're actually going to be getting. So with that, I just want to point that out to the committee.
Thank you. Do you want to have a response?
Well, I think, the main bone of contention is the amount, and if the federal poverty guidelines feel are inappropriate, I could take those out. of the original bill, and you know, have everyone pay the $400, but probably not the goal of the maker of the amendment.
Is there any further comment on the amendment? Is the objection to the amendment continued?
Yes.
Would you call the roll, please? Amendment number two.
Senator Stagman?
No.
Senator Bendy?
No.
Senator Dyson?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
Two yeas, five nays.
So amendment two has failed to be adopted by a vote of 2-5. Further testimony on CS for Senate Bill 112 submitted? Senator Bendy.
Madam Chair, I would like to move Senate Bill 1, committee substitute for Senate Bill 112 as amended from committee with individual recommendations.
Your objection?
One comment. Before I make a statement, I think, and it hasn't been discussed, I don't believe, at this table, on the first page, the legislative intent. It's the intent to provide, is this to provide this as an additional resource of revenue to be used by the REAAs? Is that the intent, all of these funds to be utilized?
It is the intent to use this as additional funding, yes. It's not to supplant existing funding.
It's not to supplant additional funding?
Existing funding. This would add to our educational funding total.
And how does that relate to, say, if new funding was distributed to all the other districts as we are contemplating this year in applying $70 million across the board by the formula, would that also be above and beyond those revenue sources?
It's this legislator's intent that these funds be additional monies and not to supplant existing funding or future funding.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Dyson.
Thank you. I'm sorry I missed parts of the debate here yesterday. One of the things that influenced me to support your intentions here, Senator Bundy, is some figures I think we saw last year that shows what the average income is per family or wage earner in what we commonly call the bush areas, and comparing it with the more urban areas. And I was surprised at how little difference there was. Do you, or maybe it came from Senator Wilkin, but either of you remember what the difference was between this urban and rural?
Madam Chair, I don't have those figures at the top of my head. Mr. Herlemer might have them somewhere, I don't know.
He's indicating no.
No.
He doesn't have them with him today. Senator Wilkin, I see you.
Might be able to help a little bit from memory. In your packet is this chart, which we've tracked since 1990. And we probably reached the point now where we should publish this. But it's always been about a half a billion by 16 or 17,000 people in the unorganized area. The average wage in Fairbanks is either $24,000 or $26,000 a year. And I just did some rough calculations yesterday. If you look at this particular sheet, there are some below. Kishinut is about $19,000. But the one that's, it's in this packet right here.
Region average.
Yeah. And we'll go back and publish this by year, but we should add a column that shows average wage. But if you look at the Tok area, it's about $26,000 a year. Copper River is about $35,000 a year. Over in Lyman's area, lower Kuskokwim, $29,000 a year. That average there, if you just do a simple average, is about $28,600 a year. If you look at Greeley, which just is enough to make you cry, Their average wage is $46,400, and they refuse to pay for their schools. Those are the kind of things that keep you up at night, but...
What is it for the Anchorage Bowl area?
I don't know what the average wage is. I would suspect it's close to Fairbanks.
Yeah, do you know, was it $24,000 or $26,000?
It was either $24,000 or $26,000 a year was the average wage in Fairbanks, North Star Borough. So that's just rough numbers.
Yeah, and I was impacted by that.
Madam Chair, you know, I think that you have to look at, you know, this might be the average wage of people that are working, but when you look at the districts that the federal government obtain, like in the Wade Hampton area, I think that they include people that aren't working, and when you average that in, mm-hmm. the Wade Hampton district drops well below $10,000 a household. And, you know, I think that that when you look at jobs, the problem, you know, and many of you have been out to rural areas of the state, the problem is you go to, you know, you go out to Tuntutuliak, several hundred people, but the number of jobs out there, you know, the you have the school teachers, but they're gone after the school is over. You have the janitors, you have a VPSO, you have the stores, you have the health aide. Heaven forbid if we fund a VPSO out there. The jobs, you might be impressed with the numbers, but I'll take you to villages, and you can walk through those communities, and I'll venture to say you can't find in the villages that I take you to half of the community that has jobs. You know, however impressed you are with the figures, I'll impress you more with the reality of life in rural Alaska.
Senator Hoffman, are you sure this is where you want to head
in
this discussion?
Well, let's go out to eat. Let's go. I'll take you out to Newtok. I'll let you spend half a day in Newtok. I want to go there. I want you all to go there.
And I appreciate that.
Would I have to stay sober, though?
But you want to. It's your choice. You can try.
But it comes back to a bigger thing, because I'm impressed by what you say, and every person you have listed who is there is either paid by government or is a government service, and we get to the point where we wonder, what are we doing in the state? And I am not being judgmental, nor racial, nor critical, but there is a point at which that no longer, as far as I'm concerned, is a viable excuse. Mr. Senator Bundy.
Well, and, you know, and surely none of us, I think, I understand the passion, but none of us expect miracles or want to be cruel, and that's why I've included in the legislation, if you live, your household is below, you're individually below the poverty, federal poverty guidelines, you will not be paying. But if indeed you have some resources, then I think it is fair to expect a contribution. It was mentioned that one of the jobs in the small REAs are teachers. And I just want to share with you information I received, not from Senator Hoffman's area, but from southeastern Alaska. A teacher who, and I think was pretty upset with me, wrote me a letter and said she and her husband chose Alaska, rural Alaska particularly, because they wanted to live in a place that didn't pay any taxes, and if they were expected to help make a contribution to support their local schools, they were going to leave the state. And the argument continued, oh my gosh, if rural teachers have to pay a tax, they're going to leave rural Alaska. Well, my counter-argument was economics would say that if urban teachers could go someplace and live tax-free, they would probably leave urban Alaska and go to rural Alaska. You know, I have little patience with people who do have an income and choose, as Senator Wilkins pointed out, an average income of $40,000 and choose not to acknowledge their responsibility. And by the same token, I have great patience with people who are, do not have resources to pay a tax, and I wouldn't expect them to.
Senator Wilken.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Hoffman, I couldn't agree more with you. You're exactly right. But the other part of the story is that for 4 years, there's been an attempt to have those people that could help support their schools to do so, because I've recognized for that amount of time. And indeed, this report that's been universally panned by those people that don't recognize their responsibility and continue to run from their responsibilities, this report also says exactly what you say, and I couldn't agree more with you, that there are areas of the state that can't afford to do what this bill does. But the sponsor has acknowledged that. But unfortunately, those people that have run from their responsibility have shifted the burden now to everybody. And regardless of whether they can or they can't pay, this has become what amounts to an income tax, a flat income tax. And that the effort in the past has been to try to get those that can help themselves to do so, and then that enables the state to concentrate on the Wade Hamptons of the world and those areas of the state that don't have the capacity, so that a generation or two generations from now, they have the ability to generate wealth. And it's unfortunate that we have to go to these, what I consider to be rather broad brush, one size fits all measures, but when this is the only way you can do it, because there are people that won't recognize fact and run from their responsibilities, unfortunately the people in Wade Hampton are the ones that are hurt. And I feel badly about that, but that's just the scenario that's been presented to us by those folks that auger in and just say, well, I'm just not going to do it. Sure, I can afford it, but you can't make me. You look at the Delta Greeley area, you look at Glen Allen, you look at Gustavus. There's no question that those people have the capacity to support their schools, but they refuse to do so. So we resort to things like this that hurt people that can't, and that's the downside of this legislation. But the upside is finally these folks will understand that they have some responsibility and they should carry it. So with that, I appreciate your comments. You're right.
Well, just a small correction. This is a tax on residents and individuals who are employed. This is a head tax. It's not an income tax. And I don't think we want to start down that road. This is the Senate, not the House, isn't it?
I think so.
Thanks.
Senator Hoffman.
Madam Chair, regarding both of those comments, however you cut it, I classify this as a tax for education. Mm-hmm. I'll disagree that it is a tax, no matter how you might color it, paint it, or want to characterize it. Regarding Senator Wilken's comments, you know, I think that the broad brush of trying to get at education through forming another layer of government just didn't cut it, you know. Why should we form another layer of government in rural Alaska? Because a lot of other things come along with burrowization, you know, and it's, if you want to look at the Alaska Native people, they're the ones that have supported the least amount of government, and probably the true Republicans without being called Republicans, trying to take care of themselves, live a subsistence lifestyle and on non-economic means. But having to look at the formulation of another layer of government for the sake of education, when the responsibility of planning, zoning, and a lot of other things come into play, and on a regional basis, when these people are struggling with the existence of their local governments. It does not make sense to me as a legislator, when these people are getting less and less assistance from of operating their present government and are moving away from the state structure and being more reliant upon the federal powers, because they are recognized as individual tribes with their own self-reliant governments. So to disguise this as paying for government and forming another layer of or paying for education and forming another layer of government, you know, I think was the wrong way to go. And this is the only alternative. Maybe this is the only alternative at this table, but I don't think that it's going to work. And there must be another way. And I don't have the solution, but surely when this is being contemplated by the five of you against the two of us, and I'm presuming that's the way it's going to fall, I don't have no tarot cards, but I can read at this table what is going to happen. I just don't think it's the right way to go, and to give up, that's not my choice. Thank you.
Senator Bundy.
Yeah, if I just might mention on, that local government issue is why a number of people in the Tok area, former Representative Schultz for one, who's kind of leading the charge, have supported this bill. They said, we do think we should and will support our schools. We'd rather not do it without another level of government that Senator Hoffman was talking about. And so this is indeed a vehicle to allow them to provide support without having to go to that level of government that many are concerned about.
Senator Dyson?
I'm starting to repent of my question.
Are you sorry now?
But when I first got here, 8 years ago, I asked some folks that have been here what I could do that would be of the most value. And they said, figure out a way to make it easier for rural and small communities to organize under state government in ways that fit both their economic needs and their own view of themselves and is culturally appropriate. And I made 3 years in a row efforts at what I call a local governance bill. And I really wanted local communities to be able to have the kind of form of government that fits their historic patterns and might be able to be recognized under both state law and federal law and would work. And I'd be glad to resurrect those efforts and to work with you to see if we can once again figure it out, because it's still the same problem. And you and I both have been in communities, at least in Western Alaska, where there's three governments. There's a state, an IRA, and a tribal government. And we need to, from my perspective, figure out a way they can all be sitting down at one table and satisfy the requirements of the individual organizations and have a form of government with titles and bylaws that fits whatever historic pattern that community wants. I'm not going to ever give up on that. When the tide's running the right way, I'd be glad to work on it again. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Wilken.
Just for Senator Hoffman, I think he knows it, but there is discussions going on right now about bringing Title 29 and trying to marry it up with federal funding. As we know it today, I think some broad-minded people that are looking down the pike for the next generation know that the ship of money that sails from Washington to Alaska is going to get smaller and smaller, and the people in Wade Hampton are going to be the first ones that get hurt by that. Diminishment of funding. And so there are people right now that are working on that to try to bring this way to fund these together and marry up two types of two very different laws to the benefit of the next generation. If one takes just a moment, well, it takes more than a moment, but takes some time to read through a report like this, it's easy to see that you can form a new government, a regional government, without adding another layer of government. But that's been a standard response to why people don't want to acknowledge their personal responsibilities, and I understand that. But that notwithstanding, that's a short-term issue. The long-term is that there are people that are working on on regional government to the benefit of Alaska, and I'm certainly supporting those efforts and have participated at the edges, but I expect to be involved more as that effort marches towards legislation in this legislature.
Are there further comments on the issue? Oh, Senator Olson, and then Senator Hoffa.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I passed out a copy that came from the Department of Labor, 2003, about some of the wage average earned income that are within the borough situation. At the top, obviously, is the Fairbanks North Star Borough with, I'm not sure where Senator Wilkin got his numbers from, and I see these numbers are significantly more than what he had said, and I would say that although they are a couple of years old, I would assume that their numbers have gone up since then. But I think the thing I want to point out is in this bill, what I see, the push is to try and have more common ground between those people that can afford and those people that can't afford, or essentially those people that have or those people that have not. In this bill, what I see is a further divide that's going on between those people that have and those people that have not. If you have property and you're paying taxes, you don't have to pay. If you don't have property, then you pay. So that's what I see, further divide of what's going on, as I said, with this bill.
Respectfully disagree, but I'm not going to go into it. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Regarding Senator Schultz,
said again in regard to
regarding his comments. Senator Bundy referred to. I worked with him as a representative and a senator, and I'll see if I can get in contact with him and have an amendment to this bill if it's the intent of this body to pass it out. Try to get an amendment that says that the legislature will not have mandatory boroughs, and they will only be formed with the passage of this legislation upon their vote. Then I would possibly believe this legislature, and I would assume that the people at this table will vote for that amendment if that is their intent.
Not in my lifetime.
Senator
following up on the comments of Senator Bundy.
Senator Stedman.
Oh, this is an interesting issue. In District A that I represent, most of the, virtually all of the major metropolitan areas, if you can call them that, we have medium-sized towns or in boroughs. And then the two middle-sized ones, Wrangell and Petersburg, are in the unorganized boroughs, but they pay for their schools. I do represent several smaller ones from Thorne Bay to Pelican and Coffman Cove and Port Alexander. And I think Port Alexander on Baranoff Island and South End and Pelican on the north end of Chichikov are in economic zones that don't appear to be all that vital unless you start linking like Pelican in with Gustavus or somewhere. When you look at Prince of Wales Island, Prince of Wales Island is looks like it's going to be growing, although slower than it had in the past because of the timber issues. But they are unorganized, and they appear to have the ability to help pay and fund some schools. I think the issue of forcing Prince of Wales into a borough is premature by probably at least a decade, if not longer. So in my district, this will work kind of a bridge between the, or I guess along the road to eventually forming a borough. But I think it would have a tendency of slowing down the creation of a borough. I would expect the people that I represent to be more hesitant to form a borough with a head tax in those areas I'm talking about. And in a couple of the locations, it would be much less expensive for them to pay the tax that we're looking at here, the head tax for schools, than it would be to impose a property tax at four mills.
Senator Bundy?
Well, I wonder if we could get back to CS for Senate Bill 112. Obviously, it is a catalyst for generating some discussions about public policy. But I would just like to focus back in on this, that is raising money for schools. Obviously, people who do not have money will not be expected to pay. Those that do have some money should be paid. And let's just index how much money this is. It's in the neighborhood of $400. Over a year's time, that's 400 cups of coffee. And is that, while it's a symbolic change, is that too much to ask for someone to contribute to their schools? And I just don't think so. So with that, I would call the question.
Is there continued objection to moving it out?
Absolutely.
Oh, I thought you were going to back off. Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Stadman?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins?
Yes.
Senator Green?
Yes.
5 yea, 2 nay.
So Senate Bill 112 is amended with individual recommendations and company fiscal notes moves from committee. Is there any further? Oh, Senator Stadman.
Announcement. The House State Affairs Committee passed out Senate Bill 141 today. I think it was, the vote was 5-2, correct?
Was it molested?
There is some issues with that may change its personality into the future, so we've got a little bit of work to do. But clearly it's a step in the right direction as far as moving it through the process of the legislature. And the next stop is the House Finance Committee, and I expect a thorough scrubbing of the bill as we move forward.
Where amendments made.
And again, it kind of it certainly, and I was been watching it on television, I'm sure some of you as well, it certainly, again, speaks very well to the work we did. And we, Gilman's work was done, and we can watch that go on through. Is there any further information? What is our schedule for tomorrow? We're subject to the call, because we may not have a calendar for tomorrow, but we will let you know if anything previously heard or scheduled will be up. Otherwise, we will not have committee tomorrow.
Never mind. No, thank you.
Yes? Okay. We are adjourned.
Donnie.